Milk, minute, milk, minute, milk, minute, yeah.
Milk.
This is Maureen Farrell.
And Heather O'Neill.
And this is the Milk Minute.
We're midwives and lactation professionals,
bringing you the most up-to-date evidence for all things lactation,
so you can feel more confident about feeding your baby,
body positivity,
relationships,
and mental health.
Plus, we laugh a little or a lot along the way.
So join us for another episode.
Welcome to the Milk Minute Podcast, everyone.
Hey, friends.
We're not wearing headphones. We had to tell you. We couldn't do it.
I told you not to tell on us, Heather. Oh, my God.
I'm not doing it. It hurts my head. So we're just hoping for the best here. I can't hear myself or Maureen.
I can see our little, like, squiggles on the screen, though, that tell us, like, if I'm too close, loud, too much, or whatever. So I think we're fine.
You'll get what you get, and you won't throw a fit.
That's what's usually happening. What happens, because we don't get direct feedback anyway.
What have you guys been doing?
Yeah, well, so it's lambing season.
Oh, lambing season.
Yeah. And actually not all of my sheep are having lambs. I had some weird disease-related miscarriages with the sheep.
Oh, no.
So some of them, like, are not having babies now, which is actually okay. Like, I mean, that was not fun to deal with, but, like, I don't have a very large capacity right now. So I'm like, less lambs is fine with me. And everyone's fine. Nobody, no, like, adult sheep died. So I'm fine with it. So we just had our first lamb. And she's white and she has little brown spots like a cow. Aww. And so my son named her Moo.
Oh, that's so cute.
And she's very, very sweet. And so last year with Lyra, I just, like, would plop her down in piles of lambs, and she kind of, like, didn't know what was happening, you know? This year she knows. And I shut her in a stall with the lamb the other day while I was cleaning up in the barn, and she was, like, so interactive with it.
Aww,
like,
that's so
following
cute.
It around, picking it up because they're, like, 8 pounds or whatever.
Aww.
Giving it hugs and kisses. She
Aww,
has this
so
little
sweet.
Disgusting rubber lamb toy that she keeps out in the barn. You know, like a little bath toy.
Yeah.
Disgusting. And she, like, was, like, you know, going, like, doot, 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 and having it, like, walk on the lamb's back.
Lamb on lamb.
It was very, very cute.
Baby Moo. So you just have the one?
Just right now. I have another who's definitely having babies. And then one more that I'm, like, maybe. I don't know. We'll see.
It's so funny that you can't tell because they're so fluffy.
Yeah. I mean, I could, like, have the vet ultrasound, but it's just, like, not that important to me, and I'm prepared for them at any time. So if she doesn't have a lamb by, like, May, then it's definitely not happening.
Yeah.
Yeah, but this one I can tell at a certain point where I'm like, girl, you chunky.
You chunky.
And then their little
What's
boobies pop out and their vaginas get all poofy.
Oh, yeah.
Everyone's like, yes, I know.
Nobody told me that would happen with my first baby. And when I woke up one day and my vagina was swelled up like a softball, I texted my midwife and I was like, what's happening with this? And she was like, oh, that's awesome. She was like, your tissues are getting ready to have a baby. Just put some ice on it. And I was like, for how long?
Maybe a month.
Yeah. My God. I have like 3 weeks left.
Well, that's part of, so usually that happens to the sheep like within a week of them having a baby. Mm. And so I do a tail check when they're all pregnant and I give them a bunch of corn so they're like not paying attention. Then I go lift all their tails and I look at their vaginas and I'm like, ooh, this one's poofy. Maybe today or tomorrow. And like, ooh, look at their boobs.
Oh, my gosh.
And then I poke them in the butt, not in the butthole. Like, it'd be the equivalent of me, like, poking your butt cheek and seeing how much it jiggles.
Okay.
Because their ligaments get really loose, as ours do, right before they birth. And it's like, I give them a poke, and then if they're like, jiggle, 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 I'm like, oh, yeah, we're having a baby.
Well, the new addition to our house is these two very long blow-up tumbling mats.
Oh, God.
And, you know, my kids are like 11 out of 10 on the activity scale. They are just so energetic. So I'm always looking for some physical activity they can do indoors over the winter.
Sure.
And they have them set up like a runway, like, you know, one in front of the other one throughout the whole basement. But you have to walk on them to get to my son's room.
Oh, God.
Now.
Does he live in the basement?
He does. He moved to the basement.
How is that?
It's great.
Yeah.
It's wonderful.
I bet he feels like such a big kid.
He does. And he trashes the basement now, but not the entire upstairs of the house. Door. So that's awesome. But it's so funny because whenever I'm yelling at him about something or trying to discipline him in some way, it is impossible to walk away from that situation with any dignity because it's like squish, 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 squish. And it just bounces me up and down. So, yeah, that's unfortunate, but also really funny because sometimes when you're yelling at your kid, you need to be squished around a little bit and be made to feel like a total idiot so you can get off your high horse.
Yeah, I mean, sometimes you just need to be reminded, like, it's not that deep. It's not that big of a deal. It's okay.
Yeah.
And maybe you should bounce around on a gymnastics mat for a minute.
Yeah, so we're going to talk about stuff in your house today. We're going to talk about that bin of breastfeeding stuff that you've had in the corner of your house that you aren't sure what to do with.
I know you're, like, telling the audience that, but it feels like a personal attack.
Yeah. Okay. How about the cabinet that you open in the kitchen that spills out with random nipple straws and bottles?
Shut up.
Uh-huh. Or how about, are you hoarding poo-stained burp cloths?
Not that one.
Okay, because I did this one. And then, of course, the three used breast pumps that were dropped on your porch.
I don't want to talk about that one.
Yeah.
People do that to me and Heather especially.
Yeah,
they're
and
like,
sometimes I'm like, yes.
Do you need this? Or, like, the worst is that people don't ask, and they're like, oh, I left some stuff for you, you know, and I'm like, okay. And then I'm like, holy crap, that's a trash bag of stuff.
Yeah, and sometimes I'm like, hell yeah, that's great, thank you. Or I'm such, like, a trash panda that I think that I'm going to organize it later, and then
I don't.
And now I have five of your bins in my office, which is fine, and I will sort through it at some point someday.
Not today.
But the point is, we see you, and we want to help you with that. And I think if you do what we tell you to today, it will take you about an hour, and your life will be better after.
I'm down. I should do it. Maybe I'll video myself doing this when I get home.
Maybe you should.
But a quick reminder that we both do private consults. Links are always in our show notes. We are so happy to help you virtually or in person if you're local, so please don't hesitate to reach out.
Yes, and we would like to thank a couple of patrons today. We're going to thank Charlie from Chicago, Illinois.
And Elizabeth from New York.
They are both our new lactivists, and we are so happy to have you. Thank you so much for joining our Patreon and supporting the cause.
All right, well, let's take a little break, and we'll be right back. Have you guys ever been listening to our show and thought to yourself, man, I really want to work one-on-one with Maureen?
I do every day that I sit here podcasting across from you.
Well, luckily for you and everybody at home, I offer both in-person and virtual support through my business. And in my business, Highland Birth Support, I'm dedicated to mentoring you guys through your childbearing year. So that could start with fertility all the way through pregnancy, childbirth, postpartum. I offer home birth midwifery services, doula services, lactation support, herbal support, anything you guys need.
You even do miscarriage support.
Absolutely, I do.
That's one of the biggest things that is so hard to find. And I think that your people that are local to you are so incredibly lucky to have this service.
Thank you. And I just feel really happy to serve everybody. And I'm so happy I can expand my services virtually as well.
Yeah, telehealth for lactation has been really important through the pandemic. And I think we just about got it perfected at this point.
So if you guys want to work with me, head over to highlandbirthsupport.com and check out what I can offer you.
That's H-I-G-H-L-A-N-D birthsupport.com.
All right. Before we get into our Marie Kondo moment, who, by the way, just admitted she has given up after three kids, I find that perfect.
Yeah. Thank you, Marie.
Anyway, I'm going to read a question from a patron of ours, Dana, and let's see what she says. I actually have a follow-up question regarding another question I asked recently. I had asked if I should move up to size 2 bottle nipples since my daughter sometimes collapses the size 1 slow flow nipples when she's bottle feeding. The response was that I could use the size 2. I have 10 bottles that I rotate in and out of daycare, so I have enough to fill when I'm pumping. I have some in the wash, you know, send 3 to daycare, and each one has a matching size 1 nipple. I realize I only have 2 size 2 nipples from whatever came in the pack that I got, right? Should I buy size 2 nipples so each bottle has one now? Seems like a yes, because it could cause frustration or confusion if she only got nipple the different sizes sometimes. but I don't have enough for the 3 bottles she gets at daycare. Even if I only had 3 of them, I would constantly need to make sure they're washed, etc.
Yes. So my answer to this was, do we need to pump into bottles, or can we just pump into a Series chiller and then come home and fill up the 3 bottles that you have? Just pour it in there and just buy one extra size 2 nipple and get rid of all of the size 1s. You don't need them. You're not using them. Your baby collapses them. It's not serving you. It doesn't bring you joy.
Yeah. You can. I would definitely, if you have the funds for it, just replace all the nipples with new ones. Anyway, get size 2. What I have also had people do who were just like in a real financial pinch, or they were like, these are brand new and I don't want to replace them, you can put new holes in the nipples.
Oh,
you can take a hot needle and poke a hole.
Yeah, so the Komatomo bottles are like that. So the slow flow has 1 hole, the medium flow has 2 holes, and the fast flow has 3 holes. So you could just add a hole.
Yeah, and I've actually used before, you can buy nipples with 0 holes that you just can poke yourself, or you could a couple years ago when I first started lactation counseling, and I would just keep those around and be like, what do we need?
Oh, that's so funny.
Yeah, and it's fine. You know, they're all just like the silicone. You can just poke a hole. I use a hot needle though, so it kind of like expands the hole a little bit.
I had a patient that used a barbecue skewer, and I was like, that might be too big.
Too big.
That's a size
7. I just used like a hefty sewing needle.
Yeah.
That's not going to like break as I'm trying to poke a hole. Use a thimble. Don't hurt yourself.
Oh, yeah.
Or a thumbtack works fine too. But yeah, that's a way to like expand use out of what you already have if you need to. And usually just one more hole expands the flow enough.
You're so smart, Maureen.
Thanks.
All right, you ready? We're breaking this down into steps because
I'm
it can
ready.
Be overwhelming.
I need it. I would love someone to do this all for me.
Okay. So that is sort of part of step 1.
Oh, is it? Okay.
So step 1 is in 2 parts. Part 1 is to phone a friend.
Ooh.
This activity is much better with someone else to make it less painful and remind you that it really is okay to throw some of the stuff out. Like, you need someone to be your sounding board who is not emotionally attached to
are
the cute pink binky that you're saving in your silverware drawer for no reason. Like, you don't need that jamming up your silverware drawer. Okay, so
you gotta
call a friend. Part 2 is to make a giant pile in your living room of all the shit you have. And I mean everything. Stuff you currently use, which you maybe need to stop using, stuff you no longer use. Gather it all in one place, grab a giant cup of tea, and observe the clutter.
I absolutely need moral support for that step.
Yes, because the next thing you do is you take a deep breath. You understand that this giant pile of shit has been contributing to your mental anxiety. And then you're going to grab 3 empty boxes and move to step 2.
Okay, I'm with you. Pile of stuff, cup of tea, moral support, empty boxes.
Deep breath. Okay, you ready?
No. But let's do it anyway.
Okay.
I'm like feeling anxious just thinking about the pile of stuff I have at home.
Oh, there's so much stuff. Feel free to pause the podcast if you need to stop,
you know what?
Do the things, and then come back.
Why don't you put us on your Alexa, okay, or Google or whatever you have, and every time we end a step, you pause it, go do it, and then play us again, and I'm going to tell you, good job.
Yeah, good job.
You did a great job. Good job completing that. There's just another step. Let's do the next step together.
Okay, step 2. So we need to determine what items are actually age appropriate for your child. So not the child you're going to have in a month, the child you actually have right now today. So if you have a young baby, I would start with locating the stuff that's a little too old for the baby first. That means all the sippy cups, water bottles, forks and spoons, bowls, giant bibs, mesh fruit teether thingies, and, you know, everything that people got you at your baby shower that you're like, when am I going to use this? And you're like, wait, half a year, and you're like, oh my God.
Yeah.
So take that, all of that, and put it in a box and label open when baby is 6 months.
Nice.
Okay. So that's what's going to be for later. So that's the easiest. Now, if your baby is over a year of age, you're going to locate all the items that are too young for your baby. And this might be the very small bibs, the newborn pacifiers, the nipple shields, and bottles. If your baby is over a year of age, it's time to get rid of the bottle, my friend.
Yes, absolutely. You can get rid of a bottle. If your baby's very attached, it's time to start thinking about your strategies for that.
Mm-hmm.
And that's usually recommended so that we can encourage proper, like, palate and mouth shape and function. You know, that's pretty much it. So it's like a developmental thing.
Yeah. Yep, it's true. And you can even have your one-year-old help you put the bottle in the box.
Yes. Yes. You can be like, hey, this is for other little babies or whatever makes sense to them.
Yeah. Okay, so pause us and then do your thing and then come back. Okay, you guys did a really good job with step two.
Okay, what's step three?
Step three is we are going to get the bottle feeding supplies under control because this is the main clutter.
It really is. I mean, how many nipples does a kid need?
All of them.
Apparently.
So if your child is less than a year and is still bottle feeding, you're going to keep only the type of bottle they currently use and like. Not the one you want them to like.
Why
the one they
do
actually
I want
like.
Them to like? Like, why though? Why do we all do this? Like, I have left that Komotomo bottle on the shelf mm-hmm. for literally a year and a half. My daughter did not give one flying fuck about that bottle.
Because you like the color green.
I think I liked the texture of yeah. it. Like, I liked to hold it while bottle
you
feeding.
Joy. Yeah, but she's not going to drink out of it.
No.
Clogging up your chi. Get rid of it. So you're going to put all the other bottles, the ones they don't like Maureen, the Komotomo, and you're going to put those in another one of your boxes.
Okay.
Okay. So next, you're going to locate all the nipples you have mm-hmm. for all the bottles.
Mm-hmm.
You're going to make a pile of nipples, and then you're going to take a picture of it so you can remember how many nipples you used to have
Woo!
In your house. And then you're going to look at the underside of the nipple to determine what size they are. Your baby should probably be on a slow flow size 1 or maybe a size 2 regardless of their age.
Yeah, and I know a lot of you guys are hanging on to those multi-packs that had like 8 different sizes in it that somebody bought you for your baby shower that you're never gonna use.
You don't need a size 4.
No, who needs a size 4?
You don't. And the only time you go up in nipple sizes is when your baby's collapsing the nipple and you have to remove it from their mouth and let it reinflate before mm-hmm. continuing the feeding, just like in our original question today. So take all the nipples that don't go with the one bottle you're using, put them in a gallon Ziploc bag, and throw them in the bottle box.
Okay.
Okay?
Okay.
Now you're going to label this bag assorted nipples.
I have a label maker, and I love to use it when I'm struggling with things like this because it, like, gives me little shots of dopamine. I'm
yeah.
like, yes, label, bam.
Label, bam, assorted nipples in the bag, in the box. Okay, next, we're going to locate all the nipples that are too slow or too fast for the bottle you do have.
Mm.
So that's probably a preemie or a 0 or a 3 and a 4.
Mm-hmm.
And you're going to put them in another gallon Ziploc bag and throw it in the bottle box. And you're going to label this one with the brand of bottle you are using.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So if you do need to go up or down in a size for the one bottle your baby likes, you know where to get it.
This is really thinking, Heather.
Okay. I put effort into this today. Mm-hmm. Okay. So pause us and then do your thing. Then come back. We're going to take a quick break to thank a sponsor, and then we're going to do our last two steps.
Okay.
Let's take a quick break to thank our sponsor, Aeroflow.
Aeroflow is your one-stop shop to get the most popular breast pumps and accessories through your insurance.
Yeah, so don't let your insurance go to waste. Why don't you let Aeroflow do all the dirty work for you?
You never have to call your insurance when you use Aeroflow, and they remind you when you're eligible for free replacement parts.
Yep, so when you're tired in your postpartum period and you're wondering why your pump isn't working as well, you might get a text that says, "Did you know you need replacement parts?" And you say, "I did not know that."
Right.
You push a button, and boom, they show up at your door.
Thanks, Aeroflow.
Thank you so much. Go ahead and check out the link to Aeroflow in our show notes and order your pump through them.
Heather, have I told you about my new favorite place to get nursing bras?
Ooh, tell me.
It's called the Dairy Fairy. The Dairy Fairy offers bras and tanks that try to solve the challenges that come with nursing and pumping. Their ingenious intimates are beautiful, supportive, and can be worn all day long.
Oh, you're allowed to look good and feel good about yourself while wearing a nursing bra?
Absolutely. And they offer sizes up to a 52G.
Oh, amazing.
I'm so glad a company has finally realized that a D cup is not a large.
Absolutely. And it's so affirming to feel included in sizing and not feel like I'm asking for too much, that clothing fits my body.
Well, what else do we get?
Well, if you guys follow the link in our show notes, you can use the code MILKMINUTE at checkout for free shipping on all domestic orders.
Oh, thank you so much, Dairy Fairy.
Absolutely. Once again, that's the link in our show notes, and use the code MILKMINUTE for free shipping on all domestic orders.
Did you guys finish step 3? You did? Good job. I'm proud of you.
Make another cup of tea. Okay. Or maybe, depending on the time, grab some wine.
Coffee.
Or coffee. Beverage of choice. Drink your kombucha. It's good for your boobies. Okay, step 4. Now it's time to do a pumping inventory.
Ooh. All right,
this is the other one that's intimidating.
I am already feeling like my chest tighten up as soon as you said that.
Okay. It's okay. Take a deep breath. Find all the flange sizes and flange inserts that you have that were never appropriate for you and put them in a bag labeled assorted flange sizes. Okay?
Okay.
Okay. Next, you're going to find all the old tubing, membranes, duck bills, reverse backflow protectors, basically all the silicone pieces that you saved when you replaced your pump parts last, and throw them away. You don't need them. Just let them go.
Okay.
You replaced them for a reason. No one needs them. Nobody wants them. Okay?
Even though I've weaned from a pump like 6 months ago, what if I need them?
You're not going to need them. Not unless you want to shove them in your ears to keep your brain together from spilling out of your head. I don't know. You're not going to
need
them.
That right now.
Yeah. Okay. So now you're going to find the used pumps that everyone gave you and choose the one that you might use in an emergency and throw the rest of them in the garbage.
Oh, yeah.
This is hard because the truth is that you may not be doing someone a favor by giving them a used pump.
True.
If they really need a good pump to boost their supply, the used pump might not have the suction it used to. These pumps are built to be disposable, and yes, it hurts my heart to see it, but these pump companies have tried to have recycling programs, and usually you have to pay for the shipping, and then who knows where it ends up.
Right.
As medical devices, they really can't reuse them and sell them like new again.
What about like new-ish or very gently used pumps that we just didn't vibe with?
Yes. So here are some pumps that I would keep if they were lightly used.
Or resell?
Or resell if they were lightly used, okay? I would absolutely resell a Spectra S1 or S2 or the Gold if you went big and you got the Gold. You can tell how many hours are on that. So take some good quality pictures, clean it, show in the pictures how many hours are on it, and get some money out of it.
Yeah.
Sure, absolutely. Same with the Motif Luna. I think you could probably gift that to somebody. I don't know if you'd be able to sell it per se, maybe $20.
Yeah, it's not a super expensive one, but like a lot of the time on the resale groups, you might be making like $20 or $40 for a pump like that. But if you need that money, go for it.
Yeah. The Zomi Z2 might be another good option.
The things like the Willow and the LV and the Mom Cozies usually sell really easily on resale groups. So if you haven't used it very much, please don't resell something you've used for like 200,000 hours because it's just really not kind, you know, unless someone is totally, totally understands what they're getting from you. But yeah, lightly used, go for it.
Yep. So, but most of us have the pump that someone gave us from their baby that was from 6 years ago that they used.
Why does everybody
for years.
Do that?
And it's like, it's because they can't throw it out.
Yeah.
Because they're emotionally attached to it.
So throw out your friend's pump that they couldn't throw out.
Yes. And the flanges that go with it. Because they don't go with the one you're using, most likely.
For real.
You don't need it.
This is a hard one. I don't know why. I hated pumping. And I still don't want to throw them out. And I also have a bunch that, like, I bought, like, just to try for the podcast that I basically used like twice and I need to resell, but I just like haven't gotten around to it because it's so much work to like make sure it's super clean and repackaged and pictures are taken. And
Can I have the Zomi back?
Oh, yeah, yeah. You can definitely have it.
Okay, now take a break and go do that. You're going to do great. It's going to feel really good when you're done.
Welcome back.
Did you finish?
Did you do? Step five.
Congratulations. Last step.
Here we go. Your final step to freedom. Okay. Now we're going to handle the miscellaneous because there's so much miscellaneous crap. It's unbelievable how much crap there is with feeding a baby. If your baby is a thumb sucker, throw away all the binkies. Mm-hmm. Give it up. They're never going to use them. Please also throw away. Oh,
can I just note, for whatever reason, there's one binky I felt attached to, even though my kid didn't, like, my children don't like them. So I put it on a little clip and clipped it to the baby doll.
Oh, see, that's nice.
I don't know why I couldn't throw it away, but I was like, fine, this is just part of play now. And I did that also with my favorite newborn onesie for Lyra. I put on the baby doll.
Okay, that's brilliant. Mm-hmm. Yeah, but again, nobody wants your hand-me-down binkies.
No, for the love of God.
They really don't. They don't care how much you spent on the binky. It's the principle of the thing. If your kid potentially sucked on it for a month, they're going to buy a new one for their baby. Mm-hmm. Everybody is going to buy a new one. So please throw them away. They don't want them. Please also throw away all the burp cloths that have turned brown. Buy yourself a new pack of cloth diaper burp cloths that are thick in the middle, like the really good ones. You deserve it. You don't need to keep the poo brown burp cloths as dust rags or for washing the car. You're right. Not going to wash the car.
Because the thing is, too, like, if you're thinking about doing that, you probably already have a big box of rags, mm-hmm. like I do. Mm-hmm. And if those are nicer than the rags you already have, then throw away the worst rags and keep them. But don't add them on top.
Yeah, or just throw them all away and then go to the automatic car wash because that's what they're for.
You know what? We just have a lot of spills in my house, so I need a lot of rags, but it is excessive and I do need to get rid of some. Mm-hmm. Like, I have a milk crate and it when they're all actually clean at once, which, like, doesn't really happen, but every once in a while it does, and then I'm like, wow, there are two milk crates full of rags.
Is it too much?
Yes.
Okay, so then you're going to locate the nursing covers you never used, as well as the car seat covers and the extra diaper bags and wipe bags, and put them in the third box to donate. So get on Amazon, buy yourself some fresh burp cloths, and donate all of the cloth items that you do not use. If you were going to use them, you would have by now.
That's probably true.
Okay. And if you've never used your bottle warmer, not even once, donate box.
Yeah.
Okay. If you're exclusively breastfeeding and have 200 microwave steam bags for sterilizing pumping equipment, donate box.
Yeah.
If your drying rack hasn't been washed since the day you bought it, wash it. Mm-hmm. If it's time to invest in a new bottle washing sponge brush, throw the old ones away.
I love throwing away old sponges and brushes. My husband does not. Like, we have opposite things we feel comfortable throwing away. So when he's not home, I throw them all away.
Yep.
Don't listen.
That's what you got to
do. Cover your ears.
Do you have any other miscellaneous that you think can think of?
I don't know about that, but I did want to mention, as far as where to donate, something that came to mind, if you have any local or state-level breastfeeding associations, sometimes they take things like steam sterilization bags for events, you know, when they're trying to, like, stock the little, like, breastfeeding booths they're making. Local women's shelters or homeless shelters might take certain items. You know, if there is a lactation clinic, please call and ask before you drop off used pumps to us. Sometimes we definitely like them and sometimes not. It can be a little bit hard to donate the pumps because they're considered medical equipment. So you definitely want to call and ask before you try to donate something like that. But otherwise, like the bags and, you know, if you have like a bunch of wipes you never use that are all in closed containers, like all that kind of stuff, you can easily donate.
Mm-hmm. And you can definitely look up, like in our area, we have RDVIC, the Rape and Domestic Violence Center, local women's shelters, things like that. They would absolutely love to have those items.
Yeah.
Okay. So go do that. When you come back, we're going to give you a little bonus, actually. Okay. You ready for my bonus tip?
I'm ready, but first I just want to say congratulations on completing the 5 steps, everybody.
You did it. We're so proud of you. Crushed it. All right. Bonus parenting tip is how to manage the clothing that your child keeps growing out of but keeps circulating in the wash.
Okay, mm-hmm. This drove me batshit crazy.
My husband is the reason.
My husband is the reason. Your husband is the reason too.
Because if something doesn't fit, or like if I put it on my kid and I squeezed it on them for the last time and I was like, it's done after this, like I know in my head to wash it and then put it away. My husband does not.
Mm-hmm.
Or he just doesn't complete the steps or to get, puts getting rid
on,
of it.
On the floor. Takes it off the kid and puts it on the floor. Usually, then I think it's dirty and then I wash it.
My husband usually throws it in the laundry basket after it doesn't fit.
Yep. Same.
And then it just happens again.
Okay, so here's how we're going to solve this problem for you. You're going to get a large bag or a box, and I personally like those plastic zipper bags that comforters come in because mm-hmm. they're clear.
Those are coveted in our house.
Yes, and so you're going to put that next to the area where you dress your kid. And you know, as well as I do, that the sizes listed on the clothes are not that accurate.
Yeah, especially under, like, 24 months.
Yeah. So when you think your three-month-old should be in three-month-old onesies and then you can't get it over their pumpkin head, you immediately put it in the box.
Yes.
Clean.
No ifs, ands, or buts.
You just take it, fold it, and put it clean in the box or bag.
I skip the folding. Just throw it in.
Throw it in. What ends up happening is you have a box or a bag of clean clothing that's all size appropriate regardless of what the tag says. So when the box is full, you label it with what size your kid actually was, mm-hmm. for example, like 0 to 3 months or 3 to 6 months when you put them in the box.
Yeah, if you want to be really considerate of yourself when you have another child or your sister or your friends, you can write your kid's age, but also like how big they actually were.
Mm-hmm.
Like you can write newborn, like 9 to 10 pounds, winter.
Winter, yeah.
Right? That would be like the most considerate thing that you could do for your future self or friends.
100%. And same with shoes mm-hmm. and like socks and things like that.
I screwed myself with shoes where like I left taking away Griffin's old shoes for way too long and then shoved all of them in a box. Now I've lost it. Don't know where it is. Also, it's like 12 sizes of shoes.
Oh, no. That's too much.
It is. I'm probably now going to buy all new shoes for my other child, even if I find that box.
Yeah. And so that's the point. Like, this method makes it so much nicer when you donate your clothes to a friend who had a baby in a similar season of the year.
Why? Like, that is the most complicated.
Yeah. So you can hand them one bag at a time.
Yes.
With the sizes that will actually fit their baby instead of a garbage bag of random size with random tags that then they have to go through for hours and do the hold-up test to see mm-hmm. if it's going to fit their kid.
Sometimes what I do, because I have wiggly kids, is I find the shirt that, like, fits them the best, and I use that as, like, the hold-up test before putting something new into their drawer.
My God, you're smart. I never thought of that.
You're like, hold still, Theo.
Oh, yeah, right. Hold still. Theo, sit down. Theo, sit down. Theo, sit down.
Squash, 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 squash. But, yeah, I do this. I have a basket on top of each dresser, and usually that's the end of my, like, really good organization. I do theoretically then have a box that stuff goes into in the closet, but my organizational system often falls apart there.
Yeah, that's okay. But we do our best.
Thankfully, since we have done our best, absolute best to prevent future children, I now get to get rid of things.
Ooh.
Yeah, so now when Lyra grows out of things, I go on the really, really free market Facebook page for my area, and I'm like, who would like a bag of assorted, non-gendered, gendered clothes for children this sizes?
Nice.
And it's very nice. And then I give it to somebody who really needs it, and yeah. I'm like, good luck. Thank you.
Thank you. Good night. Okay. I hope that was helpful. I hope you can get decluttered today. Start yes. today. Don't start tomorrow. Today is your day.
And if you're really lucky, Heather might come over my house and we'll take a video of me doing it.
That would be fun.
That would be so nice because I actually have 3 boxes of pumping stuff.
Oh my God. Yeah. Actually, we do need to go through that.
We do.
All right. So let's take a minute to thank one of our sponsors before we get to our favorite segment, the award in the alcove.
Woohoo!
Do you have a baby that struggles with excessive gas, fussiness, colic, and general sleep problems?
Well, I did, but then I used Avivo probiotics.
Avivo is a pediatrician-approved probiotic for babies that's even used in NICUs on the gentlest tummies all over the United States.
It is an amazing, unique product that contains a specific strain of B. infantis that we need
to digest human milk oligosaccharides.
That's actually 15% of breast milk that your baby will then be able to utilize, whereas if you don't have the bacteria, there's so much extra in the gut, which is why American babies poop like 10 times a day more than babies that are colonized with B. infantis.
I have personally seen this probiotic help my baby and the babies of many of my clients, and frankly, if we're dealing with any of these symptoms, it is the first thing I go to.
And the best part is, it's not like any other probiotic that we would take when we're sick or taking antibiotics, where you take it every time you go through antibiotics for the rest of your life. If you give your baby Evivo in the first 100 days of life, it actually colonizes in their gut and becomes a part of their immune system, which then they can pass to the next generation. And this is how we make change, y'all. Evivo is amazing because it's going to safeguard your baby's health today and give you peace of mind in the future.
Check out Evivo Probiotics through the link in our show notes.
And enter code MILKMINUTE for $10 off.
Hey, welcome back to our favorite segment where we get to tell you how badass you are and why we love you so much.
Whoop, whoop.
So we have an award for one of our new patrons, Lauren R. And she told us, "My win is how much nursing really helps when traveling with a baby. There's less to pack. It's easy to soothe on airplanes, for real. And you don't need to find fresh, warm, clean water to make formula. I discreetly breastfed my 8-month-old all over Spain, including all the churches we went to."
That's great.
That is awesome, Lauren. Good job. What award are we going to give her?
I put a couple options. I'm going to let you pick.
Lauren, I would like to give you the conducive connoisseur. Sorry, I don't know why I said it so weird. Congratulations.
Yes, you are. Well, I guess your baby is a conducive connoisseur.
Yeah, we just love to see those cultured babies traveling the world, sipping on the milk.
Yeah, everywhere.
I hope you have some pictures. It's a really special thing to be able to show your kids when they get older.
Yeah, for sure. All right, before we let you go, we have an Apple review from Lisette D12. Great information. "I started listening to your podcast in the second week of my first breastfeeding journey, and I wish I found you earlier, as the information you shared alleviated so much anxiety and answered the questions I had. You two have this easiness that makes me feel I'm your friend who you're making some recommendations to, and you're also funny. Thank you. I'm from Peru and recently moved back home, and I wish I could share this podcast with mom friends, but they only speak Spanish."
Oh, no. We'll have to get a translator.
"I'm shocked to hear that lactation consultants here are not a thing and that sometimes normalcy is to have sore and wounded nipples. It shouldn't. Thank you for your great public health work."
Aw, thanks so much for that review. And honestly, we are your friends, so it's not like we're your friends. We just are.
Yeah, we are. And I'd love to come to Peru.
Absolutely. Yeah, you can tell people we're your friends. I have no problem with that.
And I'm sorry that I don't speak Spanish. And I am sorry that I took 8 years of French.
Same, samesies.
And it has not served me that well.
Oh, goodness. Well, yeah. Maybe one day we will get someone to translate some of our, like, most important episodes. That'd be really cool.
That would be very cool.
If anybody out there is like, "I would do that," send us an email and we will talk about it, because that would be so amazing.
We'll get a grant for it.
Yeah, even if it's just like translating the transcript. Ugh, this is so many ideas. Okay, well, thanks for listening to another episode of the Milk Minute Podcast.
The way we change this big system that is not set up for lactating parents is by educating ourselves, listening to our listeners and giving them what they ask for, and educating our loved ones.
If all of your friends are podcast hosts, samesies, and you can join our Patreon at patreon.com/milkminutepodcast.
Yes. For as little as 25 cents an episode, you can get behind the scenes stuff, even some exclusive merch mailed right to your front door, and you get to kind of see more of our personal lives.
Yeah. Well, okay. Until next time, bye, friends.
Goodbye.
It's a myth.